Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that the current U.S. account trade deficit narrowed in the April-June quarter to the lowest level in nearly 3 years. The current account deficit fell to $98.9 billion in the second quarter, a drop of 5.7% from the first quarter. The current account is the country's broadest measure of trade. House Democrats and anti-hunger advocates are hoping to find 20 Republicans to vote against a nutrition bill that would cut $39 billion from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program over 10 years. A vote on the Nutrition Bill Reform and Work Opportunity Act is expected today. The House moves into session at 11 o'clock Eastern this morning. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending September 12th. The numbers look like this. For wheat this year, 25.9 million bushels. Next year, minus 0.1. Corn this year, 17.2 million bushels. And soybeans this year, 33.9 million bushels. Also this morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans to unknown destinations during the 2013-14 marketing year, which began on September the 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,605, is up 10 points. The NASDAQ, 3231, up 9.25, and the S&P 500 is 1720. It is up 2.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Not much change has occurred in the U.S. forecast for the next several days. We're still expecting a cool front to cut across a big part of the Midwest, and that's going to occur today and tomorrow. Frontal system will produce quite a variation in response from shower and thunderstorm activity. Some areas will only get a very minimal amount of rainfall, while others not too far away could get a pounding of heavy rainfall and some hail and maybe even some damaging wind. Most of the stronger thunderstorms will likely occur tonight and tomorrow as a cold front moves through the center part of the Corn Belt and running from areas running from Kansas and Missouri into parts of Illinois, maybe southeastern Iowa, into the Great Lakes region will probably be the area most favored for some of the stronger thunderstorms. We do expect the rain totals with this event to run mostly a tenth to three quarters of an inch. There will be some local amounts, though, in the 1 to 1.75 inch range in those areas that get hit with the heavier rain events. And just last night, we saw heavy amounts of rain occur just near and south of the South Bend, Indiana area, where 1 to 2.5, almost 3 inches of rain being reported by Doppler radar. That kind of event could occur with this frontal system over the next couple of days, and we'll just have to keep a close eye on the progress of the frontal system as we move forward through that period of time. We'll look for drier air moving back across the Midwest as we move forward into the heart of the weekend. We may still have a little bit of rain Saturday morning in the extreme southeastern part of the Midwest, but for the most part, it will be dry. We do expect to see a warming trend come back across the region early next week, with several days of 70 and lower 80-degree highs expected across a big part of the region, which is actually warmer than normal for this time of the year. We are going to see temperatures almost hot today. A big part of the Midwest will see temperatures in the upper 70s and 80s, and a few lower 90s will occur in the southwest part of the region. As we move on out into the day tomorrow and on Saturday, we'll see notable cooling take place behind this cool front. Afternoon temperatures on Saturday will probably be limited to the upper 50s and 60s in the Great Lakes region, and we'll likely see 70s in the lower parts of the Midwest. But as I mentioned before, we'll see those temperatures rebound fairly quickly back into the 70s and lower 80s for a big part of next week. We do expect some frost to occur across the northern plains over the next couple of mornings. Tomorrow morning in Montana and parts of North Dakota, and then on Saturday morning in North Dakota and northern portions of Minnesota. The temperatures will get into the middle and upper 30s during that period of time. There will probably be a handful of light freezes in Montana and maybe northwestern North Dakota, but I don't think we'll see anything like that in the upper parts of the Midwest. The air mass will moderate considerably before moving across any part of the Midwest, so there will be no risk of crop damaging cold anytime soon. Now, we do expect to see temperatures turning colder maybe in the last day or two of September, and more likely the first week of October. We'll continue to monitor that rather closely, but that is the earliest that I think we would see a notable amount of cooling occurring across the region. In the meantime, there will be another frontal system that will come into the eastern Dakotas and portions of Minnesota on Sunday into Monday of this coming weekend, and we'll likely see that produce a tenth to five-tenths of an inch of moisture with a local amount to three-quarters of an inch. All other areas in the Midwest will stay dry through the middle part of next week, with the next opportunity for rain coming with a cold front that's expected to evolve on Wednesday into Thursday in the northwestern Corn Belt and push through the southeastern parts of the region by the end of next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red December wheat is 704, up 11.5. Soft December, 654, up 7.5. December corn, 458.5, up 2.5. November soybeans are 1347. Now 46.75 are down 1. October soybean meal, 427.30, up 30. October soybean oil, 42.59, up 12. October live cattle, 125.75, up 47.5. September feeders, 157.15, unchanged. And October lean hogs are 91.15, and they are down 57.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
We were up considerably more earlier in soybeans, but we've given it all back.
Yeah, we have, and I think it just speaks that these beans, every time we seem to poke our head up, we see some funds coming in here and taking a little profit. They're still show record long positions in the beans.
So does that just mean that soybeans need to bide their time, but eventually we're going to see them above $14?
We definitely have to bide our time, and I think taking a run at that $14.09 on the November beans looks like a pretty likely thing. I guess my gut feeling is it may take till the first of the month before we can do something like that. We're certainly doing a lot of questioning about how this grain stocks report on the 30th is going to pan out.
Turn your attention to corn, please.
No frost worries there. We're still below Tuesday's highs like we were in the beans. Hearing okay yields in the central part of the state. Nothing real gangbusters until you get in Illinois, now up closer to the Quad Cities. I think guys are using their storage. They're not making many sales, so we could see this basis come back a little bit.
Sure did collapse in the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely, it has. And that premium for SEP delivery, had gone from $1.20, something along that line, over the D's futures to, nothing at this stage of the game.
Well, what would it take for corn to rally back up on the board to 475, somewhere in that area?
I think 475 is going to be rather easy. 490 is going to be really tough. So somewhere in there, we'll stay within this sideways trading range and just, not be able to really get a lot going to the upside.
And we set ourselves up for an October crop production report that will have high volatility in it?
Oh, shoot. Who knows what these silly reports are going to do? It just seems like every time we get to a report, there's an awful lot of variation with what USDA says, and then gives you a wide range within that average. And I think that will continue to show up. We still have a very good handle on acreage, even though we've got these FSA numbers that came out early this week. And I think we have no concept on yield at this stage of the game.
turn your attention to the livestock side today, please?
Boy, on the livestock, we've got a huge premium built in the cattle futures over the cash. We've got better grazing conditions there in the plains, so I think we're going to keep cattle on grass as long as we can. So I'm fearful that we could see a little more upside in the cattle, but not so on the hogs. We may have put a near-term top in there.
Thank you very much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. December corn is 458 and a quarter up 2. July, 485 and 3 quarters up 2. November soybeans, 1343 and a half down 4 and a quarter. July, 1294 and 3 quarters down 4 and a half. October soybean meal, 426.20 down 80. October soybean oil, 42.55 up 8. October live cattle, 125.87 and a half up 60. September feeders, 157.15 unchanged. October lean hogs are 91.15. They're down 57 and one half. Follow my tweets at David A. Dickey. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.